We go to Washington, D.C. area, and we bring to these microphones Ken Timmerman. He looks at geopolitical activities around the world. Ken, lots to talk about. Let's get to it. A dastardly activity taking place in England. The fact that they brutally murdered one of the British soldiers and hacked him to death. I mean, I'm concerned this could be a foretaste of something yet to come, and it could get worse from here, could it not?
Well, it could. It's unclear yet whether this was a local homegrown terrorist attack in Britain or whether this was part of a larger organized al-Qaeda move to use local Muslims in Britain and perhaps in the United States to commit terrorist attacks in different areas. You know, as we look more into the Nigerian man who carried out this brutal slaying, I mean, using a meat cleaver, it was pretty awful. It turns out he was frequenting a mosque run by a guy named Anjem Choudhary. Now, Choudhary is the head of a group called the Mujahiroon. I've been looking into them since the late 1990s. They are an al-Qaeda affiliate. Their previous leader in Britain was forced into exile and has subsequently been arrested because of his ties to Osama bin Laden. He told me when I met him in Britain many years ago that he was going to recruit soldiers for Mohammed's army and train them overseas and then bring them back to Britain to carry out exactly this kind of terrorist attack. So I'm not surprised that this has happened. I guess I'm surprised it's taken this long. And the next question is going to be, is this particular group, the Mujahiroon, behind it, or was that just an incidental, or was that just a coincidence, if you wish?
Yeah, well, you said a very interesting phrase there, homegrown. But what is so concerning to me, even using that phrase, is the fact that overall, there is a virtual caliphate. Now, what I mean by that, the internet, they don't have a caliphate where they're ruling the world on the ground at one particular location, but through the internet and through the contacts they can make, and even in the mosque that you're talking about where these men may have come out of, it looks like the Islamic radical element has it all together already, and they can bring up whoever they need to at any time they need to.
Well, it's a point well taken. They know what they want. Okay, they have a goal. They have a plan. They are pretty clear that they will use violence to execute it when that suits their purpose. We don't have a goal or a plan to oppose them. And I think the first thing we must do is to identify the enemy. And the enemy is political Islam. The enemy is Sharia law. The enemy is an Islam that wants to establish not just a virtual caliphate, but a real caliphate of Islamic rule around the world. And we have to identify that and call it by name and then organize ourselves to oppose it and defeat it.
I think that was key. Identify and call it what it is. Well, the United Kingdom is now thinking they're going to do that as it relates to Hezbollah, the notorious terrorist organization located there in southern Lebanon. The UK is calling for those who are supporting Hezbollah and thus following Hezbollah as they work with Assad and Iran. They need to be named terrorists as that which they are. But the UK is also concerned about the Iranian Hezbollah connection with President Assad of Syria.
Well, that's right. And, you know, the irony about Hezbollah is that it's taken the Europeans so long to wake up. They have refused until now to follow the lead of the United States Congress in, you know, classifying Hezbollah as a terrorist organization. They're resorting to the fiction that they carry out social works, they build hospitals and things like that, when, as everybody could see pretty clearly in the 2006 war in Israel, which I covered on the ground for Newsmax at the time, Hezbollah is a terrorist organization, and they're backed by Iran. I'm happy to see that the British government is now calling them a terrorist organization. It's pretty clear that Hezbollah is operating in Syria today at the orders of the Iranian regime. Hezbollah's leader made a visit. He was very quiet until after he got back to Lebanon because he doesn't go, he doesn't travel a lot for fear of assassination. But he made a visit recently to Tehran where he met with the Iranian top Ayatollah, Ayatollah Khamenei, and got his picture taken in his private library. So those two cooperate very carefully. They plan their operations together. Hezbollah is really an operations arm of Iranian intelligence and of the Revolutionary Guard. So they operate as, you know, part of Iran's terrorist army.
Yes, and they're going to continue to do that. We're going to continue to cover that story. Well, what about Syria? Now they're training their advanced missiles, many of which they got from Russia, on Tel Aviv. This is not a good development.
No, they have these S-300 air defense missiles, which they are getting from Russia. You know, the reports have been mixed over the past 2 weeks, Jimmy. You know, some reports said that they've already delivered. Others say that they're on the way. But the Russians have certainly confirmed that they're going to deliver them. They also have these Fateh 110 missiles, which they've gotten from the Iranians. I saw those hit Haifa when I was there in 2006. They are pretty devastating. They're big rockets. They carry a half ton of explosives that can do an awful lot of damage. And according to what we're hearing now, the Syrians have got several thousands of these, and they're threatening to target Tel Aviv, which is in range, should Israel carry out additional airstrikes in Syria to prevent arms deliveries from reaching Hezbollah. Now, the Israeli government has never admitted publicly that they've carried out the strikes, but they say we will do whatever we have to do to prevent long-range missiles from reaching Hezbollah, so it's not a secret. Amos Yadlin, who's the former head of military intelligence, man I got to know when he was stationed in Washington a couple of years ago, has said that the Israeli government now needs to take into consideration, before it strikes again in Syria, a possible escalation. In other words, they have to decide whether they're willing to take a hit from those long-range missiles based in Syria if they take out Hezbollah rockets in Syria.
Yes, some very, very concerning decisions having to be made by the Israeli government and the military leadership there in Israel as well. Well, Ken, let's go over to Iraq just for a few moments. Prime Minister Maliki is ordering a shakeup in his army's leadership after the attacks. The insurgency is not settling down or going away. It's only intensifying.
You know, this is becoming increasingly reminiscent of 2007, before the United States conducted the surge in Iraq. And it's tragic. It was foreseeable, and it was preventable. If Barack Obama had stayed the course and continued to provide military support to the Iraqi government, it's possible that this wouldn't have happened. But we see the central government in Iraq becoming essentially the representative only of the Shiite community. So you have Shiite versus Sunni violence. You have the Shiite central government threatening the Kurds in the north. The country is becoming increasingly factionalized, and the government is becoming increasingly small. So, unfortunately, no surprise, predictable, preventable, tragic.
Ken, they're going to have elections in Iran. There were a couple of former political leaders in Iran. One of them was the president, Rashashani. He's been banned from being able to run again, and several others, and it looks like the Ayatollah Ali Khamenei, who is the head of the Supreme Council, the leaders, the Ayatollahs of the Muslim clerics there, who basically run the country, they're going to try to dictate who is going to be able to even run.
Well, that's right, Jimmy. That's their system. That's the way it works. You know, when Rafsanjani announced that he was running for president on May 11th, I put out a note at Iran.org. I'm the president of the Foundation for Democracy in Iran, and said, look, this is just another election show. They will conduct these elections on June 14th this year, and the candidates are all chosen by the Supreme Leader, by the Guardian Council, which is appointed by the Supreme Leader. And they have decided they want to have a quiet election this year. They will only allow the people to choose amongst absolute loyalists to the regime, not even Rafsanjani, who has been a loyalist all his life, and who is the father of the nuclear weapons program, supreme irony. So they're going to have Velayati, who's a former foreign minister. They're going to have Mohsen Rezai, the former commander of the Revolutionary Guards. They're going to have the parliament speaker. They're going to have Saeed Jalali, who is a advisor to Khamenei. Another irony here is that two of the candidates who have been approved are wanted by Interpol for their role in the 1994 bombing in Buenos Aires against the Amia Jewish Center that killed 86 people. So in addition to their current defense minister, who is wanted for that attack, in addition to Rafsanjani, who was initially wanted for that attack, two of the candidates who have been approved are also wanted for international terrorism.
Wow. Wow. Well, I know you have long experience on covering Iran and in particular their political activities. So it's so great to have you as one of our broadcast partners. Ken Timmerman, covering geopolitical activities for us here on Prophecy Today. Ken, thank you so very much, my good friend. We'll talk again next week.
Thank you, Jimmy. It's always a pleasure.